section of our worship this morning. You know, I don't know if you noticed, partway through that song, there was a section that we were actually praying and inviting God to really, our Savior, to just come and be present and fill us with His presence, fill us with His grace, His love, His mercy. And that's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. That's what we're here today to remember. He's the author of our salvation. He conquered the grave for us. And that's an amazing, amazing gift that God, who created everything, would love us so much that He would send His one and only Son to redeem us so that we could be part of this, His forever family. And so today, as we prepare for our time of study in the Word, let's just take a few moments to go before the Lord in quiet prayer with each other, or for ourselves and for others around us. But let's just take the time to let go of all the things that have been hindering us, the sins that have so easily entangled us this last week, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's pray together in silence. We thank You, Lord, for the way that You know our hearts. You hear our silent prayers. You know our thoughts before, and the words that are on our tongues before one of them comes to be. So, Lord, we just thank You for this time of just being able to come with You into the silence and to begin to hear You speak to us. And, Lord, we just pray today that You would lead us, that You would guide us. As You have taught us to pray, we pray now the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. This morning, we're continuing our table talk series on building, our bodybuilding, and we're looking at a topic today that I'm sure every single one of us here is really excited about, right? Exercise. Right? Exercise. All of us. This is one of those topics that I think every single one of us, we always, you know, from the time we were young and all the way through our adult years, we've always thought, oh, you know, we've heard that it's participation. How many of you remember when years and years and years ago in public school, it was participation. They came out with all those little patches and goals and things. For those of you who are millennials, or, you know, you probably don't have any clue what I'm talking about right now. But it was a whole thing. When the 65-year-old Swede is as physically fit as the 30-year-old Canadian. Remember that? That pitch, something like that anyway. It just got us all into that exercise mindset. And so I think all of us have heard about the benefits of exercise. How many of us, well, I don't know if I should do this. How many of us actually do some sort of exercise every day other than just getting yourself out of bed and kind of stretching here and stretching there? Or lifting a coffee mug. All right. Yeah, I think that's why this message today, I think, is so important for us, okay? You know, I mean, and years ago, I mean, I can remember in my early 30s, that seems so long ago now, but there used to be a real fad, remember those infomercials on TV with all the exercise devices? You know, Tony Little and his gazelle, you know, doing all those, and how many of you at some point have gone out and actually bought some exercise equipment? Yeah, I know. How many of you actually used it? Not too many. I remember getting a home gym. It was really great for the first couple of weeks, maybe the first month, and then I probably used it once or twice over the next year, and we actually ended up selling it at a great loss. I think that's what happens with exercise equipment, right? You know, but for most of us, we have good intentions when it comes to exercising. We start off okay, but like, you know, after a couple of months, we kind of lose that discipline. And it really does come down to discipline and motivation, doesn't it? You know, to be able to continue to exercise. We just can't stick with the exercise routine. We know it's good for us, but we can't keep it up, you know, until something happens to us. Until we have an accident where we're laid up, or, you know, we have a stroke or a heart attack, and then, you know, then it's not just a matter of will I exercise, it's a matter I have to exercise, and the doctor gives us that prescription to go and get physiotherapy, and then we have a physiotherapist, and they coach us along, and they help us to build up that strength again in our muscles, and we start to get into a routine, and then we get motivated to really, you know, fulfill on the exercises that we've been given. And, you know, motivation is an important ingredient in successfully exercising our bodies. What is it that motivates us? What is it that drives us to actually fulfill on that thing that we know is so good for us? Exercise. Well, I found a little poem that I want to share with you this morning, just to kind of set up where we're going here. And it's called The Oyster. The Oyster. There once was an oyster whose story I'll tell, who found that some sand got into his shell. It was only a grain, but it gave him great pain, for oysters have feelings, although they're so plain. Now, did he berate the harsh workings of fate that had brought him to such a deplorable state? Did he curse at the government, cry for election, and claim that the sea should have given him protection? No, he said to himself as he lay on a shell, since I cannot remove it, I shall try to improve it. Now the years have rolled around as the years always do, and he came to his ultimate destiny, stew. And the small grain of sand that had bothered him so was now a beautiful pearl, all richly aglow. Now the tale has a moral, for isn't it grand what an oyster can do with a morsel of sand? What couldn't we do if we'd only begin with some of the things that get under our skin? You know, this poem is almost like a parable. You know, and it's all about motivation, right? And when things bother us, when we notice things, when we begin to take note that, you know, something's not just working right, either in our life or as we'll, you know, works into the whole thing about, you know, our church community. You know, as a church, how are we doing? Where are we? How are we exercising? How are we, you know, are we healthy? Are we vital? Are we vibrant? You know, there are little things that might get under our skin about who we are, where we are, what we're up to. But the motivation, what is the motivation? What is our motivation to actually begin to see transformation, to see things begin to change? And I, you know, really put it out there. You know, it's just like our physical bodies. When we recognize, oh, my leg is not just quite working right. Right, Bob? I can relate. You know, we go and we get it fixed up, or we go to a physiotherapist, we go to a coach, and they start to train us on how to bring that part of the body back to health. Well, today I'm going to be like a little grain of sand. I'm going to be like a coach, a mentor, a spiritual director, you know, helping to shine some light into, you know, an area of our church where we need to begin to exercise so that we can see life and health and vibrancy come back to the body. So, you know, we started on this track last month, first Sunday of the month, where we started to look at who we are as the body of Christ. We're a community of believers who are joined together by our love for Christ and for one another. We're a Holy Spirit empowered and organized community. We're a body made up of many different interconnected, indispensable parts. And we are together as the body of Christ, God, part of God's masterpiece, his church. We've been brought together. If we remember the passage, we've been brought together as the Holy Spirit sees fit, as God sees fit. He brings us together. We've been brought together to fulfill his sacred purpose for us. God has a promised and preferred future for us. Did you know that? As a church? As Edmonton Heights Baptist Church, God has a purpose for us. And he has a future for us. And we need to... That's what these conversations around your tables at lunch are going to be all about. The questions that we sent out this week are all about that. Where do we see ourselves, you know, going in terms of God's preferred future for us, promised future for us? We've been brought together for that purpose. And today we're going to start to see that we all have a responsibility to be who we were created in Christ Jesus to be and to do what we were made to do best in the body of Christ. And we started to go that route last time we were together on the first Sunday of the month, as we looked at what is the body of Christ. Well, it's made up of Spirit-empowered believers, people who have been given gifts by the Holy Spirit to fulfill the purpose for which we've been called. And so today, you know, we're going to look at this whole thing about we are to be faithful stewards of what God has entrusted us with as part of this forever family. So that's where this whole concept of exercising the body comes in. Because if God has given us some special gifts and abilities and talents that are unique to each of us, then it would only stand to reason that we need to learn how to exercise them or put them into use so that the body that we are part of is healthy and vibrant. So let's look at this passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 and 11, where Paul tells us this. He says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there's given through the Spirit. To one, there is given through the Spirit. I've lost my place. I had a dot, dot, dot there that I was going to use here. Each one, the manifestation. To the one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the works of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now, you are all the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts. You know, the Apostle Paul sets out for us a whole list of different kinds of gifts. Each of us has been given, he says, a gift of the Spirit, or gifts, different gifts. Where two people are the same when it comes to spiritual giftings. The manifestation has been given to of the Spirit has been given to everyone in the body of Christ. Why? Because God has given us these gifts so that the whole body can be healthy, that we can work together to see the kingdom purposes of God fulfilled. And these gifts, these are very special manifestations of the Spirit. The word gift in this passage in 1 Corinthians is the word charismata, the Greek word charismata. And that word charismata is made up of two words. Charis, which is grace, and pneumata, which is the Spirit, or Spirit empowerment. The empowerment of the Spirit comes to us in a gift of grace from God. So these gifts are Spirit manifestations of the Spirit of God. And as we can see from this list, there's a wide variety of gifts because there's a wide variety of people, especially in this room right now. A wide variety of gifts for a wide variety of people. And we each have a responsibility to know our spiritual gifts. And so, these gifts, why is it so important? Well, it's for the common good of the body, to make us strong, vibrant, and healthy, a healthy expression of God's forever family. So, This morning, I'd like us to take a few moments now and to take an opportunity. On the tables, there's a small sheet of paper, and it has a personal reflection question there. And the personal reflection question is, are these. What are your spiritual gifts? What part of the body of Christ are you? And what is your role in the healthy functioning of the body? And I'd like you to take a few minutes. I'm going to give you about 2 to 5 minutes to do this morning, just to reflect on the passage of Scripture that are on the back of the sheet. There's a couple of lists there from 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans chapter 12, some of the spiritual gifts that are there. Just reflect on them. Think about them. Some of you may have done a spiritual gifts inventory in the past, but you know, just take a few moments to reflect on these questions and write a few answers down there. And you know, these answers will be just for you today, just to reflect on. And so we'll give you a few moments now to do that. Okay. As we come back, hopefully that's given you a little bit of time to reflect, to explore a little bit. It may not be absolutely conclusive for you as to what your spiritual gifts are, but if you don't know, if you really don't know after, you know, taking, you know, that time, or if you've always wondered, what is my spiritual gift? Well, you know what? You can come and talk to me afterwards and let me know, because I have in the office, I have some spiritual gift inventories that we can give you to go over, and then we can determine what your spiritual gift is. Because it's so important. It's so important to the team, you know, in team sports. You know, the importance of everybody doing their part, knowing what their role is on the team, knowing how to get the best out of each other in the body of Christ. And so, you know, this is all about, as we seek to understand our own spiritual gifts so that we can begin to function in the body of Christ and be an impact player. Do you know what an impact player is? In sports, an impact player is someone who gets the touches of the ball or the puck on the stick. Everybody on the team looks for the impact players to make a difference. And you know, yesterday, I don't know, I'm a hockey fan. So yesterday was the NHL All-Star game, okay? And all of the players that were in that game, in those games, were impact players. And that's kind of the way I look at the church, is you're all All-Stars. You are. You're all impact players. And, you know, I couldn't even begin to look today around here and say, well, who's the MVP? Because all of you are MVPs in one way or another. Most valuable players on God's team. Because you've all been chosen and equipped, called to serve him. And you know, the one thing that again, yesterday, not only was the All-Star game on, but we had some All-Stars here yesterday as well. We had a mentoring training program, and we also had a time for all of the people who have volunteered to clean the church here yesterday for a training session. You know, it's really interesting. One is not more important than the other, because we're all doing our part in the body of Christ. And being part of the body, exercising the body, is all about helping each other grow up to maturity and strength in our faith. That's what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 to 29. He says, "We proclaim him, admonishing him, teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ," or mature in Christ. "To this end, we labor and struggle with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me." You know, that's what my role is as pastor, is to work to help you to become the best possible expression of the body of Christ. And that's what all of our leaders in the church are all about, our elders, our deacons. All those who are leaders of committees and teams. All our role is to help you to grow to maturity and strength in your expression as members of the body of Christ, to exercise the body. You know, and you know, there's an unhealthy notion. You know, I've seen it in some churches that I've been pastor of, and certainly in talking with many of my colleagues in ministry, and actually one of the pastors that I have a monthly spiritual direction session with has expressed this. It's one of the things that they're working through, is the unhealthy notion that, you know, in some churches, it's the pastor and the elders and the deacons' job to do everything. To do everything. Because that's why they're in leadership. You know, if you're called to leadership, you're the one that's got to do it. And the rest, well, we can all kind of sit back and watch you do it. You know, there's a lot of people who, within churches, and I'm not saying it's here, but there are a lot of people in churches who sit in the stands instead of getting on to the ice or getting onto the court. And as a result, you know, it's easy to sit in the stands and criticize and complain, or, you know, or yell and scream at you know, the coach should be fired, you know, or, oh, we got to trade that person, you know, send them off to another place. You know, it's easy for people in the stands to yell all kinds of stuff, but it's so much harder to get on the court and to be part of the game, to be an impact player on the court, on the ice. And so, you know, this is why it's so important, Paul says, for us to understand the role of leaders, shepherding leaders in the body of Christ. Because that's a gift that God has given to the church as well. He says it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. Did you catch that? Did you catch it? What is the role of shepherding leaders in the church? Shepherding leaders are a gift from Christ to the church, his body. Why? So that we can fulfill that special purpose to be players and coaches along with you. And that's what our, you know, I know every single person who's on our leadership team here at the church. I know them, in conversation with them every week, nurturing them, encouraging them, holding them accountable, them holding me accountable, all the different things that we do together in our conversations. But one thing each and every member of our leadership team, our elders and our deacons are committed to is coming alongside of people in this church and helping them to become the best possible team players here at Emerson Heights Baptist Church. To coach you, to nurture you, to empower you to be the people of God. You know, because it's a primary responsibility of shepherding leaders is to lead the body in their daily exercise routines. That's what we were talking about yesterday at our mentoring program. Our leaders are to be this body's personal trainers, encouragers, those who come alongside, equipping the members of the body with what they need to be healthy, functioning parts of the body, helping, equipping, mentoring, coming alongside, training each member so that we can effectively use the gifts to serve the Lord in our various different ways. And that's what Paul says there. We're to prepare God's people for the works of service. And so today, we're seeking to, as leaders, be a catalyst to facilitate spiritual growth in each and every one of you. So how can we do that? Well, encouraging each one of us not to be half-hearted in our devotion. You know what? That's the killer of our exercise routines, isn't it? To kind of going at it half-heartedly is, you know, just going, oh yeah, okay, today I'm not feeling like it. I'm not feeling like doing my push-ups today. I'm not feeling like getting out and going for a walk. Okay, so I'll do it tomorrow. And then what happens? Tomorrow comes and you feel the same way and you just kind of get, it's half-hearted. But the Apostle Paul says, you know, if we're going to exercise the body, exercise our body, we need to be fully devoted. He says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. For everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. No, I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself may not be disqualified for the prize. You know, what was Paul's motivation in serving at the high level that he did? It was his desire to fulfill the purpose for which God had called him, to attain to the goal to which God had called him heavenward in Christ Jesus, to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus, utilizing the gifts and abilities that God had given him. And as we have said earlier, you know, exercising our spiritual gifts is a discipline, just like getting up every day and doing those exercises that we promised ourselves we would do. You know, when we exercise our faith, it shows that we have an eager desire to know and to use the gifts in order to build up the body and make it strong. So what's your desire today? What is the goal that you're striving for? You know, as Paul said, you know, we run to get the prize. Well, what's the prize? Well, it's that well done, thou good and faithful servants. Well done. You fulfilled the role that I called you to do. You fulfilled your destiny. The gifts that I gave you, you used them for the kingdom purposes. Well done. Enter into your rest. You know, it's a good habit to form good disciplines, spiritual disciplines, as well as physical disciplines, and to stick with them over the long run to maintain the forward progress of the movement of God's purpose here at Emerson Heights. So I'm asking you today, how motivated are you to not only know your, to get to know your spiritual gifts, that, to look under the hood of who has God created me to be, and then not only that, but to then start to exercise those gifts little bit by little bit by little bit, building those muscles of service and faithfulness to God? How motivated are you? In what ways are you exercising your spiritual gifts to strengthen the body? In what ways can you release the leaders of this church into their roles of being nurturing player coaches? How can you come alongside the leaders to help you be all that you can be? And how hungry are you to experience the full manifestation of the Spirit's power as you faithfully exercise the gifts that you've been given? You know, today we've just basically just opened a little bit of a window into this whole area of spiritual gifts and utilizing those gifts, exercising those gifts. But you know, there's so much more that we all need to discover. And so remember this. Okay, remember this. If we're going to be the body of Christ, remember these words that Charles Colson set out for us last month when we started this journey. He says this, remember, we cannot give what we do not have. We cannot impart values we don't hold. We cannot do until we are the body of Christ. And that's going to take a lot of exercise on our part. Because you know what? For many, many years, and this is not an indictment on the past, but for many years, Emerson Heights Baptist Church has kind of been in a maintenance to kind of, just kind of, you know, tired mode. Now it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to dust off that exercise equipment and start exercising our faith together. Exercising as the body of Christ, the gifts that we have been given. Remember the clam. Remember? You know, that little bit of sand that is that irritation? Well, over time, that little bit of sand, as it's transformed, becomes a great big pearl. And it's all as a result of motivation. Are we going to let that little piece of sand get under our skin? Or are we going to turn it into something beautiful? My hope today is that we can take this, that we can take this as a starting point again for us to all look at, where do I need to begin to exercise my spiritual gift, my spiritual passion, my motivation for being part of the body of Christ? How can we begin to take those things that we know are not quite right and begin to turn them into something beautiful for God's kingdom? An expression of our faith, our love, our devotion to God, an offering to Him. You know, as Romans 12, offer yourselves to God as a spiritual sacrifice, pleasing and acceptable to Him as we offer ourselves to God. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that you would take these words today, the message, that you would just seal them in each one of our hearts. And Lord, as we come to this time around the table now, I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to come to an awareness of the depth to which you have loved us, how you have poured out your grace to us. And so, Lord, I just pray now that you would just settle our hearts before you as we prepare to come to the table this morning and to just worship you and receive from you that life-giving grace and peace. We love you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name.